All right, we've got everyone here, councillors. Welcome to Melbourne City Council meeting number 46, Tuesday, 29 October 2019, and we're kicking off at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance. Welcome to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, cultural and sporting significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available on the City of Melbourne website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please contact a member of our council business team. Councillors and management and members of the public, can we all just check our phones to make sure they're on silent or off? That would be fantastic. Thank you. The agenda this evening comprises 12 reports from management, six of which are confidential, and two items of general business. An apology has been received from Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood. If any councillor this evening has either a direct or an indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, can you please disclose the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the item this evening? It's time for confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. Councillors, I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 44 held on Tuesday, 24 September 2019 and the special council meeting number 45 held on Tuesday, 15 October 2019. A councillor to move, Councillor Francis Gillie. Thank you. Councillor Riley is seconding the motion. All those in favour, councillors, we're off and running. Please put your hand in the air. That's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. Councillors, are there any matters arising from those minutes that you'd like to discuss at this point? None. Thank you. Now, the following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to Agenda Item 6.6, which is publishing tender recommendations, we had an item of correspondence from Stephen Main. In relation to Agenda Item 7.1, which is proposed travel by Councillor Nicholas Rees to Sydney in November 2019, we had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. And in relation to Agenda Item 7.2, which is post-travel report by Councillor Rohan Leppert, Auckland, New Zealand, August 2019, we had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Councillors, we're going to discuss the confidential status of one agenda item, which is 14.3. Are there any other agenda items for discussion under confidential at this time? We can go to 14.3. Office of City of Literature, dash further three-year funding agreement. And the proposal is that we move this into the open session in our meeting. Is there a mover for this agenda item? Councillor Riley, thank you for that. And the seconder, Councillor Leppert. And I'm saying to all of us, all of the councillors present this evening, is there any opposition to this motion? No, then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, it's a resounding unanimous declaring that motion carried. Thank you very much. And we will come to that in due course. Now, there are no reports from committee for consideration in the open session. There are six reports from management for consideration in the open session. The first one, item 6.1, is records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak, thank you. Councillor to second the motion. Sorry, Councillor Riley. No, I don't mean. I'm saying sorry, I didn't notice another councillor's hand up, and I, Councillor Riley. Thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? No. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? No. Then thank you. Would all any other councillors like to speak to the motion? All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Now, we come to item 6.2, which is Connected Communities Grants 2020 recommendations. And on the screen, we will see that this has been moved into three parts.
Excuse me, Lord Mayor. It's 6.2. I have to declare a conflict of interest.
Good. We're going to consider 6.2A, I was thinking. Am I in the right spot? Good. Yep. So we're doing part one and then part two.
I'm trying to determine whether I'm in part one or part two.
You're in part two.
So I may as well declare this an indirect conflict of interest.
No, we're going to do that in part two.
Okay.
We're going to do part one first. It is confusing, I know, and we've all been going through this today, as you know. So part one is to consider all of the connected community grants detailed in attachment 3, with the exclusion of impact grant number 42, which is in relation to the Huddle, and small grant number 33, which is the Carlton Residents Association, and we'll come to that in part two. Good. So, councillors, I'm calling on a councillor to move part one. Councillor Pinder, thank you. And I'm calling on a councillor to second part one of this motion. Councillor Watts, thank you very much. And so, Councillor Pender, would you like to speak to the motion, please?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This is the very first Connected Communities Grants round as part of our Community Grants and Partnerships Framework, which Council endorsed in September 2018. And the framework invests more than $2 million into City of Melbourne communities, and these Connected Communities Grants has a pool of $525,484. The purpose of Council providing the funding, of course, is to foster community connection, social inclusion and access participation, that which we do so well for our vulnerable communities, which, of course, top of mind is the diversity, commitment and creativity. For the first time, these grants provide core operational funding up to $1,550 for volunteer, not-for-profit community organisations, and 27 organisations are recommended for funding under this stream. This includes residents' associations, seniors, welfare and friendship groups. A further 10 organisations are recommended for small projects such as outings throughout the year for seniors groups. The other stream, of course, is impact grants, which Council provides up to $20,000 for community projects to be delivered in 2020. It is here that I have some concerns myself, with 22% of funding allocated to events associated with our African community, 32.6% or thereabouts to Kensington Parkville, and a further 8.4% to the LGBTIQ community. Seems somewhat disproportionately allocated. That's my only comment on that, and perhaps next year we could look towards projects that include, for example, the French consular office has a French Assist program, French Assist Melbourne program, which seeks to support French people who are experiencing homelessness in Melbourne. There are the international students community. There's a whole range of events, activities that they organise to connect with each other. There's a South Bank Disability Choir and many others, and there are lots of seniors organisations as well. So the question, of course, is how do we change what we're doing to attract these other organisations to this superb grant program. And I'd really like the officers to perhaps think about that for next year or the next round. Some example projects in this current round include one that addresses family violence on the African Australian community through education and story sharing on Oz African TV, a brilliant initiative. There's a help centre for the increasing of number of Spanish-speaking international students. They're in growing numbers from Central and South America, as we know, and a range of others, including a second women's team at Kensington's City Soccer Club. So some really good projects. I think what we need to try and do is to stimulate greater interest throughout the city, not just in the northern part of our city. There are other areas that require this restoring that fabric of our community and getting people to be better connected. But all in all, a great amount of work, a very robust panel. So well done, Eamon and team, on choosing the panel as well and the work that you've done.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder, for that summary. Excellent. And so I am looking to Councillor Watts to see if you would like to speak as seconder.
Thank you. My colleague spoke very eloquently and comprehensively about this particular set of grants. I think we're often, and there's been criticism in the media that city councils are about rates, rubbish and roads, and clearly we are about a lot more than that, and I think connecting our communities and creating an environment for our community which facilitates all sorts of benefits is very important. I think what I would like to stress is that one thing that we have to do, and it goes to my colleague's point about diversity in applications, is make sure people are aware of what they can apply for and have a sense of empowerment in doing so, because this is a system that can be played more or less by various groups in a sophisticated way or less so. So I think vigilance and awareness is very important, and that's another obligation we have as a city, to be as inclusive as we can in all of our programs, including this one.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? Councillor Oak?
I too would like to firstly acknowledge the City of Melbourne team for not only going through all of the applications but obviously managing the program and the complexity, and I think all of the work is shown in the results before us in the range of applicants that we're supporting that I believe, you know, do reflect a diverse Melbourne. But I, you know, agree with my colleagues that we can always do better in promoting this fund and making sure that everyone who is involved in connecting communities in the City of Melbourne is aware of the support that we provide. And I think that we can only, you know, we can always do more to make sure everyone is aware of the opportunities that the City of Melbourne provides. I think, you know, it's really quite exciting, the number of initiatives that our community do come up with and do lead in our municipality, and you know, the range of activities from football to sustainability to leadership to young people to old people, I think does create and shows a really diverse range of activities that do make Melbourne what it is. And I think it's really important that we have programs like this, and I really thank all the applicants for the work that they do, because it's never enough to cover the costs of the activities that they're running. But it is what it is, and you know, obviously we can't. Money is not bottomless, and so there is a limit to what we can provide. But I do acknowledge that, you know, just the very act of putting in an application is someone's volunteer time in our community saying, let's do something for our neighbours or for my community. And that in itself costs time out of what they're doing in their regular job. So I acknowledge the effort that everyone's put into, and I hope that the money that we can provide is a somewhat acknowledgement of that, and I look forward to the great activities that come as a result.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers? Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I support this as well, of course. This is the result of a really important process, and we can't fund every single group that comes to us for funds, but there's a brilliant range of community groups that we are able to support here. for some remarkable outcomes that are proposed. I just wanted to comment on the assessment criteria, because that has come up during the debate. We don't ever assess based on geographical diversity or demographic diversity proportional to that of the municipality. I recall that we adopted the assessment criteria with the new community funding framework last year, which talks about community need and not a proportional split based on any other criteria. Does the project promote access and participation for City of Melbourne residents and social inclusion? But really importantly, does the project target groups or individuals that face barriers to community participation? And so I wouldn't want to suggest that the officers have done anything other than follow that assessment criteria. I'm just bringing it up because I know it's come up during the debate, but I certainly agree with the words of the mover and seconder about the breadth of support that we're providing here. But I just want to acknowledge to the officers that they've faithfully and diligently followed the assessment criteria that we adopted.
Any other speakers to this motion? Just to add that I think an important point out of the mover's discussion was about how do we encourage more people to actually apply so that we see more of that breadth. And that's a very worthwhile thing because it promotes the program but also existing participants and the things they've done. So I think that'd be fantastic. And I just really wanted to comment as well on the fact that there's also a lot of effort put into helping people understand or organisations understand why they weren't successful. And even in that, there's good capacity building and information sharing. And so I acknowledge the effort from our team that goes into that as well. And hopefully some of those organisations can build that capability and might be successful in the future. So thanks in advance for all of those efforts. If there are no other speakers, then I'm going to put this motion... Oh, sorry. Something wrong with my peripheral vision tonight. I'm so sorry. Councillor Francis
Gillies. There's something wrong with my hand. I wasn't sure.
Here is another speaker to the motion.
So I think I wasn't sure. I think in terms of the debate, my only concern is that we, in terms of the when the motion was moved, the naming of particular groups, and I don't know that it particularly helps to name particular groups or particular areas. My concern is if I was one of those groups or one of those areas, how I may feel included or not included in the council's deliberations of how we give our grants. And so I think I want to just say, in some ways, the other message to the team, which is that, you know, I'm happy if there are 60% from West Melbourne or from African communities, because actually I think, as somebody who worked in poverty in this city for 15 years at the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, or 5 years as its leader, I would expect that to be the places that we would see this work. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have more diversity and we shouldn't look right away across the city and who's getting them, but I would want to be careful that we were really looking for where need is most present and supporting that need.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other speakers to the motion? And I'm doing a full range of my neck turn here, head turn. No, I can't see any other hands. So I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of this motion, it's unanimous and I declare the motion carried. Thank you. We're now going to consider part two of this motion in relation to community grants, and that relates particularly to those grants that are on the screen at the moment. Councillor Watts.
I'm declaring an indirect conflict of interest, section 78. My husband, Philip Watts, is the treasurer of Carlton Residents Association.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Oh, okay, good, thank you. Well, before we proceed, I'm going to declare a conflict of interest as well by virtue, an indirect interest by virtue of section 78C as a result of a campaign donation. And so I'm exiting as well.
So, Keith, can I look to you for guidance with the Lord Mayor absenting and the Deputy Lord Mayor not present this evening, is the procedure now that we call for nominations for somebody else to step into the chair, or Council's had a conversation about this earlier today. I can suggest a name and we can vote on it and take it from there. We're in your hands, Keith.
Thank you, Councillor. My suggestion would be that somebody moves a motion to put someone in the chair and second it and then vote on it.
Well, I'll move a motion that Councillor Rohan Leppett takes the chair.
Seconded by Councillor Pinder.
Put all those in favour, raise your hand. Motion carried.
Consolation for losing the election last year. We're at part two of the motion on the same agenda item, which is those parts that were excised for reasons that we've already discussed. Do I have a mover for this or a similar motion? Councillor Pinder again, wonderful. And Councillor Rees seconding. Councillor Pinder.
Sorry, Chair. Not much more to say other than the Huddle does a great program, and he's nurturing some terrific kids. And of course, the Carlton Residents Association do what they do well. And I fully support this.
Councillor Rees.
Just bearing in mind Councillor Francis Gillies' advice earlier about not singling out any particular groups, I will say that both of these groups are in fact fantastic. I concur with Councillor Pinder about the wonderful work of the Huddle and the work they do with youth in our community. And, you know, the Carlton Residents Association, it's a mixture of bouquets and brickbats I get from them on a pretty regular basis with the planning portfolio. So wonderful to support them in such a magnanimous way tonight.
Any other contributors to this debate? No, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Declare that carried unanimously. We can invite the Lord Mayor and Councillor Watts to return. Thank you.
Keith, I'm assuming we don't need a motion for the Lord Mayor to assume the chair.
Thank you, councillors, for managing that item. I can then move us along to item 6.3, which is the update of delegations and council documents, organisational realignment. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the item. Councillor Oak, thank you very much, and a councillor to second. Councillor Rees, thank you very much. And so to you, Councillor Oak, to speak to the motion.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. The purpose of this is to update delegations and other council-approved documents as a result of changes arising from organisational realignment carried out by the CEO. So I move the recommendation from management.
Thank you. And to you, Councillor Rees, if you'd like to speak to the motion. No. Are there any other speakers to this particular motion? None, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hand. It's unanimous and I declare that motion carried. Thank you. That brings us to item 6.4, which is consideration of proposal to renew the City of Melbourne Chair in Resilient Cities partnership with the University of Melbourne. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item this evening?
No.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, before we progress, I need to declare a conflict of interest on this item due to my employment at the University of Melbourne.
I too, Lord Mayor, need to declare an indirect conflict due to conflicting duties and my employer being the University of Melbourne.
Thank you to both of you for alerting us to your conflict of interest. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? Note that I'm going to ask for a mover. And Councillor Watts? and I'm happy to second the motion. So as mover, Councillor Watts, over to you.
So I'm delighted to move this motion. It seems to me to be a very good opportunity to reinforce and refresh the City of Melbourne's commitment to academic excellence in this particular way. We are a world-renowned knowledge city, and one of the elements which differentiate our standing as such is our capacity or our preparedness to invest in academic excellence in relation to the way this city operates. Now, what we're doing in relation to on a fairly high level, in the first instance, I'd like to say that on a high level, it allows us to access information and research and capabilities which are denied cities without the capacity to invest in this way. We really are in a very fortunate position in the City of Melbourne to have such a situation, such a relationship with an excellent university on our doorstep within our municipality. I would like to state from the outset, since Professor Conan has been with the city, that his work has been excellent, and it is a loss for this city that we are now in the position of having to replace this excellent academic. The reality in the world of recruitment is, in order to attract the talent to this city we require in such a very important role, is that we have to offer, or it is advisable to offer, tenure of a 5-year appointment. I am absolutely confident that the City of Melbourne will derive immense benefit from this. The calibre of the person attracted to such a role will certainly allow considerable return on investment. That said, it's very important that the city maintain the approach to draw from that appointment the information, the research, the perspectives that we need to put our city repeatedly in the cutting edge in this particular field of resilience in the broadest sense. This is not simply about green sustainability, this is about sustainability and resilience in a much broader sense. So this appointment, what we're being asked to vote on today, is about positioning Melbourne to the front, being on the front foot in relation to the academic excellence that this city deserves in relation to urban policy.
Thank you, Councillor Watts, and I agree and I'm happy to support this motion. We, as a city, made a commitment in 2015 to this position, and we were able to attract someone with international standing and regard who has really driven academic excellence, but from that knowledge that can be applied here in Melbourne around resilient communities. As a result of circumstances beyond all of our control, including the professor, unfortunately he has to go, and that has resulted in us reconsidering the remainder of that term and putting it in the context of what we want to achieve, which is a new 5-year term. My understanding from others, because it's not my area of expertise, is that he is not just well regarded, but he has generated a lot of value while he's been in our community here in Melbourne. From my perspective, to have people of international standing in these sorts of academic positions where we know we have a direct relationship and we can benefit, therefore, that academic excellence really also drives attracting other international people of expertise, talent and thinking that really drives action here in our local community. But knowing that we can have somebody, as Professor Conan has done, that has attracted other international people to our city to participate in important discussions, debates and research, has been fantastic. We know that it also helps attract other funding, particularly from other government sources, to projects that are important to us here in Melbourne. We've seen that it has mobilised the best of thinking that can guide and inspire action to help us find ways here in Melbourne to be more resilient as a community, both from an environmental perspective, but more broadly on how we build community cohesion and resilience to issues that we know will impact us into the future. And that's very important. I think the good thing, one of the good things that's coming out of this is that we've reviewed the relationship that we have, we've reviewed the outcomes, and from that we've been able to instigate, elements of continuous improvement into what would be a new arrangement if it's approved tonight as we go forward, and that will certainly drive a closer, a more, an even closer alignment between the organisations, but importantly, the work that's produced to make sure its ongoing relevance to what we do here at the city, and really help drive a deeper benefit for us as an organisation, but importantly for our community. And of course, I did also want to touch on the fact that having somebody of this sort of stature, as Professor Conan has done, does a huge amount really in terms of students as well as other academics and then into the community that benefit. So for those reasons, I'm happy to support this proposal, this motion this evening, and I look forward to the vote. Are there any other councillors who would like to speak to this motion? Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just before I do, can I ask a quick question of Toby? Attachment 4B talks about the measures proposed to be taken to ensure a City of Melbourne output from the current and next chair of Resilient Cities. Is that going to be locked in the agreement? And I'm wondering if we're able to broker further opportunities above and beyond what's written in Attachment 4B. I'm just wondering how rigid those requirements are, or if this is just an indication at this stage.
Thank you, Councillor. What is in there is what has been put forward by the University of Melbourne as their proposal to strengthen. And that's what I wanted councillors to have visibility of as we then negotiate pending, should you agree, pending the vote, then we would we can further strengthen this or add to it as council sees fit.
Thank you. Do you mind if I continue, Lord Mayor? Thank you. And thanks, Toby. We haven't acknowledged your work and Michelle's. We have, actually, I beg your pardon, but thank you for bringing this to us. I support this. I am interested in the commentary around how we can improve the way that we feed into this role so that we are tackling these city problems at an academic level and making the absolute most out of our ratepayers' funds for this position. I think Lars Conan has done an extraordinary job. I speak with the highest praise of him, as others have done. And I'll be really interested to see what the role, which directions it will go into, because this is one position for one person and the direction will really largely be set by the individual in that role, as well as, of course, any other strictures you put around it. But the person is so important. I think that the role over the last little while has done an excellent job in helping us in our resilient Greater Melbourne functions. We remember as well, though, that Resilient Melbourne isn't just like any other branch at the City of Melbourne, and I think it's those non-resilient Melbourne opportunities to feed into this role so that our own resilience agenda, separate to Resilient Melbourne, which of course is in-house but has a remit for Greater Melbourne, can be fed into this role adequately. So I think the attachment at 4B is an improvement. I think that we could look at even more opportunities, again, just to check in with whoever the next chair is going to be, and put on her or his agenda, whatever it happens to be, whatever our city academic opportunities might be. And that's a conversation for ELT as a whole, for Smart City Office and whatever its future's going to be, but not only for Resilient Melbourne. However, The Resilient Melbourne function is brilliant, and I think the outcomes have been brilliant so far. I just think we need to be a little bit hard-nosed when we negotiate the requirements for how we'd like to engage with this role for the next 5 or 7 years. But I definitely support it, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other councillors who'd like to speak to the motion? Councillor Pinder.
Lord Mayor, I reluctantly support this, but I have been swayed by Councillor Lippitt's and Councillor Watts's contribution. The report cites a challenge as being the tussle between academic, quoted from the report, but as a tussle between academic independence versus the focus on the City of Melbourne. And so, you know, given that we are using our city ratepayer funds to the tune of, we're proposing $700,000 tonight, I think a greater review of how we manage this, or an overhaul perhaps, how this has all been managed is required. But as I said, this is much greater than an improvement opportunity. I think there are obstacles, and there are real obstacles, and in the real world out there, I think we need to, Councillor Lippitt indicated, really kind of indicate, you know, in 4B and make sure that that which is stipulated is actually very carefully enacted.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Riley.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, just taking on board what all the councillors have said, I do agree $700,000 of ratepayers' money. Would they really understand why we're spending it on this? And the answer is probably no. But I also believe that the city needs this urban resilience, and innovation only comes from much, you know, more professors' knowledge. I also just questioned about the global connection and wondered why there was not an advertising plan, or could be a recruitment plan to take in local as well. But I will support.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Lots of good points made. Were there any other points to be made this evening by councillors? No, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. If we could invite our councillors back in as we move to consider item 6.5, and that is the... I'll just wait for councillors to come in. Item 6.5, funding support requests, October 2019. Welcome back, councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, that I'm looking for a mover for this motion, please. Councillor Pinder, seconder Councillor Louis. Councillor Pinder, to you to speak to the motion. I had you as mover.
Did you? Okay. No, nothing to say. Lord Mayor, it's pretty straightforward. It is a request from Visit Victoria for the T20 World Cup. I think the Sri Lankans are going to win. It's a women's tournament. Sorry, I didn't realise that. But, no, it's always great to have these sorts of events in our city. And, yes, we should be supporting them.
Thank you. Councillor Louis.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, it's a very modest amount in support of women in sport. But most importantly, I think the timing of it coincides beautifully with International Women's Day, and I think their aim of getting a record number at the MCG for the finals, I congratulate them. So wish them well in getting the record numbers for a women's only sports event.
Thank you, Councillor Louis. Any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. Thank you. We're moving to item 6.6, which is the publishing tender recommendations. I believe that we have... we're moving a motion, amended motion.
Lord Mayor, I'm happy to move a different motion to that, which is the recommendation from management, and
Thank
it
you.
Appears on the screen now. I move it. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a mover of an amended motion by Councillor Lippitt, and I'm looking for a seconder to that motion, Councillor Rees, and I'm looking to you, Councillor Lippitt, to speak to the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank Michael and the team for bringing this to us for consideration. It's an ongoing difficult balance between ensuring we're getting the absolute best deal for our ratepayers, whilst also making as many decisions as possible in public so that our ratepayers can see what decisions we're making and why. They sound like they're always in tandem when I put it like that, but these are often competing interests which we need to balance carefully. I had a look at the way some other councils do things, and I think it's fair to say that there is no overwhelming uniform way that most councils do deal with this. Some of our neighbouring councils do everything in closed session. I think that it is difficult for us to go from a regime of default open to default closed, and I'd like to explore a few other options. So I've left this motion as broad as possible so that officers can consider what those options might be, and we can have a bit more of a discussion over the next month about what our default tender awarding model should be. But one model that I've highlighted, which is that of the Darebin City Council, is that most tenders appear to be made in open session with some attachments to those reports declared confidential under Section 77 of the Act. Now, that's a little bit of a bastardisation of Section 89, and it does carry its own risks. However, I think that the dividends for ratepayers are there because they can see that decisions are being made in open session whilst some of the commercially sensitive information is not being disclosed. I'm not suggesting that's the solution, but I think that it's something we should very seriously look at, and so this buys us another month so that we can have that discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Councillor Rees.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'll just add briefly to Councillor Lippitt's comments to say that I think the City of Melbourne has a very proud record in terms of openness and transparency measures. As I was reminded recently, Australia, if not world-leading in some respects. There is, of course, a balancing act that needs to go on. Sometimes there will be commercial or other interests which need to be weighed up alongside the interests of the community's interest in knowing what's going on at council. But I'm very pleased to note that we are part of a council that leans in very strongly in favour of open decision making here in the council and at future Melbourne committee meeting. I should note the Deputy Lord Mayor is not with us this evening, but I do know that he's very supportive of the motion that's being put forward this evening.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Are there any other councillors who would like to speak to this motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Councillors, we've got effectively a new item 6.7, which was 14.3, which as a result of the motion we had at the start of the meeting is now going to be considered in open session, and that is the Office of City Literature further 3-year funding agreement. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this agenda item? No, then I'm looking for a mover. Councillor Lippitt, thank you. I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Watts, thank you very much. Over to you, Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We were one of the world's first UNESCO cities of literature, and very proudly so. This is something that the Victorian government, with the City of Melbourne's assistance, lobbied for quite a while ago and before I started, but Councillor Watts will be very familiar with it, and I know she champions literature in particular, this is close to her heart. This has been a very successful program for the life of the Office of City of Literature. David in particular has done an extraordinary job, I think. If there's any political problems in the literature world, and there certainly are plenty of those, David will broker solutions. He is, as lead of the Office of City of Literature, we couldn't have asked for anyone better. To continue this program at the same rate, I think we're going to continue to see fantastic dividends. Like a previous discussion, we can always talk more about how that program is governed from city and state and what the outcomes are. But I think the report that we have before us gives a bit of a snapshot into the value that the Office of City of Literature has for this city, and I do very much wish that it continues. And so I'm very much in favour of this and expect that the state government will contribute the other half of the funds for the ongoing success of the office.
Thank you, Councillor Lippert. Councillor Watts, for you.
Councillor Lippert is correct. This is a wonderful opportunity to reinforce our credentials, if you like, as a city of literature. I'm confident the state government, like the City of Melbourne, I hope, understands the value in this. For Brand Melbourne, for one thing, in relation to our perceptions of our city elsewhere, but also for our people. We have a very literate community and we enjoy the world of literature and all that it brings. Part of the reason Melbourne is as culturally rich as it is because of our history, our legacy of appreciation of literature. In fact, I would say the Melbourne City Library system supports this also. There is furious agreement that literature is at the heart of much of what makes Melbourne, Melbourne.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Oak.
Oh, I just wanted to give my support and say I love the fact that Melbourne is a city of literature. I agree with everything that Councillor Watts just said, and I support us continuing to support this initiative. I wish that we were the City of Music, but Adelaide has that post. But the City of City of Literature, I think, is absolutely apt. So I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this item? I'm going to put the item to the motion to the... hang on a sec. There's one very important element, actually. What we need to do is we need to ask the mover and the seconder if they are willing to support an amended motion, because to this motion we actually needed to add that the redacted version of the report will be made available on our website as a public document as a result of us moving this into open. And we can see furiously the words going up onto the screen there. And so what we would like to do once the words are seen is I'm going to ask Councillor Lippert if he's willing to move the amended motion, Councillor Watts, and we can move on from there. Does that sound okay? Good. Thank you, the mover, as Councillor Lippert, and I'm looking for a seconder in Councillor Watts. Thank you very much. Would anybody like to speak to this amended motion? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Excellent. That's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Councillors, thank you for that. We're concluding the items then the reports from management in open session this evening. Thanks to everyone involved. We're moving to general business, and the first item, and there are two items. The first one is proposed travel, Councillor Nicholas Rees to Sydney in November 2019. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. I'm looking for a mover, Councillor Rees, and I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Lippert. Thank you to you, Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Look, I'm very pleased to be able to represent the City of Melbourne at the Public Space Design Forum in Sydney in November later this year. I'll be using the conference as an opportunity to present on the topic of Central Melbourne Design Guide. Clarity is key. This is an area where I think Melbourne has done some really outstanding world-leading work, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity of sharing that work with the attendees at the conference. Of course, these things are never a one-way street. I'm also looking forward to hearing what other speakers at the conference have to say and bringing back great ideas and insights which can help keep Melbourne the world's greatest city.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillor Lippert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, of course, I agree. The City of Melbourne's design policy review has been broad and innovative and very important in the Australian context. It's a huge amount of work from the team, but also under the political leadership of Councillor Rees, who better to spruik what we are doing in Sydney. At the same time, there are other regimes that we need to learn more about. So I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to do that, and I wish Councillor Rees the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Liu, to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I have to say this is probably the best 1,838 marketing for City of Melbourne has ever done. To get City of Melbourne to talk about leadership in public design, I think it's an absolutely tremendous marketing ploy from us. But also, I'm sure there's a lot of international people going to that as well. So hopefully we can have, I don't know if we ever had the public space design forum here in Melbourne before, but it'd be good to see if how we can actually, because we are a leader in this platform. But yes, great opportunity and a great way to promote Melbourne in Sydney.
Good point. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Watts.
I agree completely with Councillor Liu's comments there. Anything we can do to actually show how, the world how wonderful Melbourne is and what excellent thinking happens in Melbourne is a good thing.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers to the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thank you and happy flying. Item 7.2 is Post Travel by Councillor Lippitt, Auckland, New Zealand, August 2019. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling for a mover of the item, Councillor Lippitt, and a seconder, Councillor Francis Gillie, and to you, Councillor Lippitt, to speak to the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I went to Auckland. I had one meeting. This is the report. We debated this for nearly as long as that meeting when we approved the travel, so I'm going to keep my remarks very, very brief and thank councillors for approving that travel in the first instance.
That might be a new record for you. Councillor Lippitt, Councillor Francis Gillie is seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt, for taking out the half an hour to go to that meeting.
Thank you, Councillor. Here we're going. Councillor Riley.
Well, I actually thought the report was a bit light on. There was no photographs of the wonderful wharf of Auckland, and I really don't know what he did for the rest of his holiday. So, yes, I approve.
Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Rees can't help himself.
Indeed, Lord Mayor, I can't. Look, there was a disappointing lack of photographs in this report, so I look forward to catching up with Councillor Lippitt outside of this chamber so he can share some pictures with us. But notwithstanding the shortage of photos, there was actually some quite good insights in this report, including the observation of a recent trend for greater political willingness to install fewer larger pieces of public art, and particularly notes that development along the Auckland waterfront. What a most interesting development. Look forward to hearing more.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillor Watts?
And just to extend that just a tiny bit further, 4.4 notes that installation of public art, the waterfront renewal of Auckland integrates maritime heritage. What music to my ears.
He had everything covered in the report, except for photos, Councillor Riley. Any other speakers to this amazing motion? I'm going to put the motion to the vote then, councillors. All those in favour, please raise your hands, and it's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. Thank you. That concludes the items of general business for consideration in open session today. I'm calling on any councillors to let me know if there are items of urgent business they'd like considered at this time. There are none, so we are going to move to closure of the open meeting. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen, or it's coming onto the screen, to close the to close the open session and so that we can move to consider items. Thank you, Councillor Francis Gillier, Councillor Riley. Putting the motion to the vote, councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. That leaves me to say thank you to the members of the public for attending this evening and look forward to seeing you next time. And we're declaring the motion carried at 6:24 p.m.